2, 3, 4.
What is the definition of a man?
It's a boy thing.
I think as a man, we do have a lot of responsibilities.
Ah, it's a boy thing.
Someone who works towards being respected.
It's a boy thing.
In today's society, that seems to change.
It's a boy thing.
You can just be whatever you want to be and define that as being a man.
It's a boy thing.
Being a man is being able to show that sad side of you, not just the no emotion side. That's about it.
Jack Bagley, here we are. We actually saw each other in person.
I was actually thinking that this time last week I was hustling, just finished teaching my morning classes and was getting myself out to Dunedin Airport to come up to Christchurch. It was such a profound experience. Like, I'm still trying to unpack your conference. Trying to unpack it. It was the best PD I've ever been to.
Wow, that's huge compliments. Thank you, my friend.
I know, it seems like I'm saying that just because it's you, but actually you just structured it all so well. And of course, we'll talk about that. But yeah, honestly, and Holly, my colleague who came along, she's just buzzing after it as well. So nice for a second year teacher to have experienced something that wonderful. It set the bar really high for other PD she attends.
Yeah, I mean, teaching PD can be a bit hit and miss, can't it?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And actually, we don't get that much of it. I'm glad we did the conference because it brought the conversation about teaching boys into focus in a way that I think a lot of people were really interested in. Like, we had heaps of people from all over New Zealand.
Yes. An array of schools as well. It wasn't just, you know, like, oh, they're all what we would usually classify, no longer, but high decile schools or anything. It was an array of schools. I thought that it would be really nice to actually start off today's podcast because it was such an emotive way for you to finish. But can you give your appeal that you made to us? I just loved it. And it was, you know, like the whole arc, if we talk about the whole arc of the few days, it was just the perfect way to finish. And I think for the people who didn't attend, or those who did attend and are listening to this again, can you do it?
Oh, my goodness, Bags.
Your message was.
I guess, I mean, one of the things, before I start, I'll say this. I feel like we almost had to do the conference before we could make the exhortations. One of the things that I feel like I have to be careful about as HOD of English at Christ College is to remember that this is a privileged environment and that whatever I say is always interpreted through that lens.
Yeah.
And that can be good. Like, I think it can offer opportunity to have influence. But equally, I think sometimes people can dismiss what I have to say because they will look at where I work and say, well, it's easy for you to say because you're in this privileged environment.
Yes.
And I don't deny the privilege of it, but I feel like we need to say you and I have come through education in different settings. I've worked across an array of different types of schools. I've worked in a boys' school in central London that's at the opposite end of the spectrum. And one of the profound points that I want to always make is that I don't really think the work's very different. As much as the context might affect the boys' experiences, what happens in our English classrooms really doesn't differ very much between those different contexts. I think I stand for that. I think a lot of the time we have quite impoverished ideas about students who come through challenging pathways. And that's the worst thing we can do. Like, they're still the same kids with the same capacities. Mm-hmm. And our classrooms are such protected environments that so much of what happens in there is up to us. Mm. And so what we expect is what we get. And I do love that students will come into my classrooms and deliver the things that I expect. But that didn't start when I started working here at Christ College. It's always been true, and I know it's true for you as well. So essentially, if I think about what I said at the conference, we spent a lot of time in the conference examining learning in English for boys, and I felt like we'd made enough of an offer to the teaching community for me to then say some harder words, and some of the harder words that I had to say were, they can be summarized, can't they, as if not us, then who,
then who,
and if not now, then when. It comes down to, for example, the teaching of literacy. I know that everybody's talking about that being a whole school enterprise, and I know why they're saying that, but I don't think it's acceptable for us as English departments to let ourselves off the hook. We're the ones who have to either have or develop the expertise to teach literacy in secondary schools because our students need it. And we're the only ones who are actually going to do that with the high levels of competence that the students need. So literacy is always going to be the domain of the English teachers. And yes, one of the things that we've gained from that here by really embracing that is a lot of respect from our colleagues around the school. Like they know that they've got work to do to support the literacy endeavour, but they look to us for leadership on that. And of course English departments want that. We want to be seen as having expertise in our area and having something to offer the school. And that's how I think how it works here. And that's something I really promote, is the idea of English departments really owning literacy and equipping ourselves to do good work in relation to literacy and loving literacy. A lot of the presentations at the conference were essentially about teaching.
They were.
Literacy in the context of language and literature, so that there's no compromise there. All of that can be taught, but we don't have to set aside literacy when we're teaching English. In fact, we can make literacy the center of what we do. I think one of the points I also made, if I recall, was we all sit in front of families and have to share insights into what's happening in the classroom, and we all know that the families' primary concern is that their kids can read and write. Yes. And if we're not actually doing work that facilitates reading and writing for their kids, it doesn't matter how cool or clever or creative or innovative our work is, it's not the right work. It's not actually delivering the center of what students need. And I also think that the other thing is that Christ College is privileged for sure, but actually every secondary school teacher in every school is privileged. We've got that opportunity to do this job with these young people, and it is the future of the nation that's in our hands, and it's our obligation to deliver really, really good outcomes. And we talked in the podcast already about the fact that that's just not happening the same for boys, and so we can't pretend that anyone else is going to fix that. If anyone's going to fix that, it's got to be us. That's I think what I said. Would you say, would you agree?
You did. You've framed it more diplomatically today.
I wasn't diplomatic at the end of the conference.
You put a challenge in, and I actually don't mind a challenge. For some people, it probably will create that sense of intimidation, or maybe it makes them uncomfortable. But the reality is, we need to have these moments of challenge in order to do better for our boys. And that's been the feedback that I've been passing on to colleagues here. How was the conference? It was amazing. It was an appeal to do better for our boys. And you finished on that.
I mean, I'm not afraid of saying those 3,500 boys who are failing at every stage in New Zealand, that is on us. Because, well, who else is responsible for the outcomes for learners? And unless society is absolutely battering boys in every way, and they're coming into our classrooms as hopeless cases, and unless that is true, then it really is on us to do better. And I mean, there are other factors, but I think the large effect is the teachers.
Yes, I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree with you when it comes
and
to
I
that.
Find that exciting though, don't you? Like, isn't it great that we've got that much influence and that we can make that much of a difference?
Well, as you keep saying, it's a cool job. It's a cool job. You get to hang out with kids. Actually, as we both know, kids are far less complicated than adults.
Yeah,
so you get to spend your day with kids. And, I mean, we're sitting here and it's like now we've gone from possibly being, the first episode was like, oh, maybe we're being dark and negative, but we weren't, to now going, kids are the best. Kids are challenging. It's not like we're sitting here saying this job is easy. I walk in and I don't feel frustrated. Man, I feel a sense of frustration each day. But I'm here because I care for the kids, I care for the education, and I do believe in them. I believe in the boys that sit in my room, and I'm constantly telling them that. Sometimes when they've been a disappointment, they'll get that more heavily, but I sit alongside you in that this is a great job, but also we're here for our kids and we've got to do the best job for our boys. So
It's super empowering because I think when we have that narrative in our heads, we simply can set aside all the other nonsense and bureaucracy and just say, well, if it doesn't serve the boys, it's not worth the effort. And it clarifies the position of what we do in the class. Mm. And of course, if there are things we're not very good at as teachers, it's our job to make ourselves better at it. Mm. And I guess hopefully the conference offered that as well, as pathways for teachers to become better at what we do. I've got students who are about to start walking into my classroom. So can I just ask a couple of things about what you found, what you noticed the most at the conference? Sort of your biggest takeaways maybe?
Biggest takeaways? Well, I think the keynotes. God, you keep looking at the kids about to come in. The keynotes particularly, and the fact that you organised two men who have had diverse backgrounds to speak to us, so Airana Nawera and Dominic Hoey, and obviously one who is of Māori ethnicity and, you know, intergenerational failure in school, like that sort of was the message that was coming through, and of course how relationships are key. But it's not that kind of fake relationship. It's actually investing in the students because we know they lie at the heart of everything. You got the same message from Dominic as well. And being, I guess, your authentic self, those were really key things for me. But I also really loved about those two keynotes on the Thursday, who they were came through, again, that authentic self, but also their way of presenting. So Dominic, obviously, humour, so did Airana, you know, both humorous. But Airana had this really, he was so sort of composed and he used pause so beautifully. Like, I was just sitting there kind of going, wow.
I mean, they really delivered those two keynote speakers. And in a way, I was asking them to come and speak about what some of the challenges are. Obviously, there are challenges for Māori boys in education, the ethnicity aspect. Amplifies the challenge. And Dominic's just a dyslexic poet.
Yes.
And I think they really did outline the fact that neither of them felt as if the education system particularly supported them.
Yes.
And they definitely talked about the importance of relationship first. You know, we talked about that in the podcast last week.
It's
very much where things begin with working with boys. Mm. And it was interesting though, because I felt a couple of the delegates of the conference kind of said there was a discord between the workshops and the keynotes because we outlined the problem. And they felt that the workshops weren't addressing kind of high needs boys. And I kind of feel like the point was missed there because I think those keynote presenters, both of whom are published authors, were saying was, we don't want less from the education system than everyone else just because we happen to fit into these difficult categories. So we should be teaching the best practice in the classroom to teachers who work with boys, not special approaches that accommodate boys' special needs. I feel like there's something difficult about that I'm not settled with.
I didn't get that. Like I didn't, I mean, obviously I went off to two structured literacy presentations, which Andrea and Julie from Literacy Connections ran. Oh my God, amazing, amazing presenters as well. Those women, decent women, but just the knowledge that was there. And then obviously I ran my own presentation, which was, I guess, a bit of a challenge to the people sitting in the room to have the high expectations. There were lots of people within that room that said to me, for example, oh, you do silent reading. Yes, I do. I do silent reading every day with my year 9 boys and I do it twice a week with my year 11s and this is how I run it with my year 13s. And the question of, but how do you get them reading? Because we get that I don't like to read. It's boring. I won't read. You make them read.
That's right. It's not like you give them a choice.
And I think actually this comes back to what you're sitting in this sense of kind of discomfort over with the delegates saying, oh, the high needs, and then there was the disconnect. Actually, no, I don't think that there was a disconnect. I just think that the presentations or the workshops alongside the keynote speakers were talking about how we can do better. And of course you will take from those whatever you want to take from those moments. But everyone was on the same page saying we've got to do better for boys. And part of doing better for boys is investing in relationships, but it's also having belief in them that they can do this and that you can't make excuses for them, you know?
I completely agree. And I actually, now that we're talking about it, I've got this group of boys standing outside my class watching me right now who I'm meant to be teaching. Just to say, I think one of the misunderstandings is that creating the relationship is a part of the practice, a significant part that really matters. But so is delivering really high quality learning. And I don't think you reduce the quality of the learning in order to engage a positive relationship. In fact, I think you go the other way.
I agree.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so they do interact with each other, but perhaps not in the way that people think. It's not about dumbing things down or making things boy friendly. It's about being friendly to boys and then teaching really solid material that they will find hard.
They'll find challenging but stimulating. And actually, then what you're giving them is the gift of belief in themselves, because they end up realizing that you believe in them. So then the relationship. How do you foster a good relationship? You do your job properly.
Exactly.
That's what you're saying, you know.
That's right. That's probably one of the best things you can do if you want a good. In fact, while we're still talking, I might just let them in. Is that all right? Because I'm moving. I'm squeaking.
I know. You're looking uncomfortable.
Yeah. Okay, just a second.
Come on in. Sorry about this. I've just
finished
the
stuff.
We've got quite a
setup.
If we're still reading our book,
stay. Thank you. Still reading your book.
Nice. And feel free to sit. Thank you very much.
I think we should end up saying that actually we were behind in starting this because we had issues with technology.
We had an equipment
failure. We're not tardy teachers.
Yeah, exactly. I am going to have to go now. Next time, we'll talk about your presentation. How does that
sound? Oh, no.
Yes,
we really
please.
Don't need
Because I didn't get to see it.
Yeah. I know. Maybe that's a blessing in disguise.
No.
But anyway, look at all those boys that came in. Were they year 11 or 12?
The year 12.
Yeah, I was trying to guess the age from looking at them looking in. See, you believe in them. Anyway, look, go and enjoy your lovely boys, and we will be in touch.
It's a Boy Thing, a fortnightly chat about teaching English to boys with Gina and Chris.
I think being a man is having good friendships and strong relationships with the people around you.